At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And welcome, everybody, to the Rugby Rant episode 190. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And with us, we have our buddy Tim Brown, who has been on the show before representing Young Glory, representing, what was this organization after Young Glory? I keep forgetting the name.
Strong Lad.
Strong Lad Rugby, yeah.
Yes, Strong Lad. There we go, Strong Lad Rugby. And now he is the representative for Macron, who just partnered with USA Rugby, and that's what we're having him on the show today for. We're going to be talking about that a little later in our rant. Tim, welcome back, brother.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Friendly quarantines.
As always, absolutely. You always welcome the show. You know, you always bring that special knowledge, especially at the news.
Aren't you a White Sox fan, Rob?
Me? Am I a White Sox fan?
Yeah, I thought you said you're a White Sox fan.
No. And by the way, without getting too deep into the weeds, like my favorite local sports radio station, AM1000, home of Waddle and Sylvie Show, by the way. Awesome stuff. Always call in. I've thrown some rugby stuff on there before. Nevertheless, it always gets preempted by the White Sox. And I'm like, they're horrible. Get rid of the White Sox. Dump them. I'd rather listen to Waddle and Sylvie and get their take on other sports. Football or whatever have you, Bears, etc. But alas, the soccer.
The Bears are just as bad. What the fuck?
That's not true. They have the same record. No, I guess the Packers are what, 5-2?
Is that mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the Bears had a bye week last week. So we'll see what happens.
This is horrible. You guys could like totally set me up. If you asked me, I'm so into rugby. If you asked me to name any of the last five football, baseball, hockey, basketball champions, I couldn't.
Well, now we know not to invite you on our sports general knowledge podcast. That's coming out soon. Yeah,
if you want me to recite the lineup of the 78 Dodgers, no problem. But anyway,
you know, Tim's old school.
Steve Garvey. Yeah.
That's pre-Gibson.
Yeah. Gibson 81. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Scott would put most people to shame with his ability to recall general sports knowledge. I, on the other hand, am getting more and more like Tim Brown, where about the only thing I really pay true attention to is rugby. And as long as the Bears are wasting my time on a Sunday afternoon, I'll watch them.
Yeah.
Which, really. They've been doing a lot of wasting my time, by the way, as Scott well knows.
That's awesome. But yeah, we are here to talk about rugby, believe it or not. I know fans came on here and were like, oh, we're going to be talking about the New York Liberty winning the WNBA, which was our topic originally. But no, we will be talking about rugby. I assure you, this is still a rugby. This is still a rugby podcast. So let's get to our next segment, Around the Pitch.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the MLR, somebody at the MLR is paying attention to this podcast because they probably heard me talk about the fact that the MLR would be wise to get some sort of yearly annual meeting going that would not talk about on the field rugby, but talk about business operations. And as sure as the cows cross the fence line and cuddle up the Scott's New York home, which they did last year, the MLR had a president's meeting last week on Wednesday, October 16th. GMs were represented, mostly team presidents. It was here in Chicago. And basically, like I said, it was a business ops meeting. And the idea behind this, as I'm told by, thankfully, James English, was that this was really a meeting to share and collaborate, a kumbaya, if you will. And it's extended because they're supposed to be having quarterly meetings like this and then an annual meeting every year to basically talk about anything non-rugby. So we're talking about ticketing, we're talking about merch, marketing, events, broadcasting, all those things that they don't compete with each other about, right? They don't compete each other really for ticketing or events or broadcast or marketing. I mean, maybe a little bit on merch, but let's face it, fans of teams are going to buy their merch regardless, and they may buy some other teams. So it does work out. But they're sharing best practices in relation to all these things, in a sense, trying to get an idea of what might work for them, what's going well, what's not going well, how they can improve their business operations. Good stuff. Glad they did it. And look, it's about time.
Absolutely. And I know for a fact that NFL teams do this. I have a friend who works for the Giants who does this for a living, where he liaises with the other team and they figure out on game day what has been working, and they try and deploy that to different stadiums because they can prove that it works at the Giants stadium. You know, if it's not Giants specific, or if it is Giants specific, can they convert it to, you know, a different team based upon, you know, easy changes? Is it successful, and does it bring it up in fan engagement? So, you know, the Big Four are doing it, so NLR has to do it as well.
Yeah. And just so I can put it on record, one of my big suggestions was, I saw this at my high school. You put people in these balls, not so big that they are like totally encapsulated in it, but just enough so their head and their feet stick out. And you actually have them start at two endpoints. And I think this is brilliant. I think this would be absolutely fantastic for rugby fans. You get some rugby fans on there and you have kind of a four-man contest, a four-man bracket, and they run against each other as hard as they can. And the object is to get the other guy to fall down and you stay on your feet, kind of like King of the Hill for rugby pitch. So that's my idea and sticking with it. I think this should be carried forward into the halftime extravaganza here at Dunktown.
CTE, one stupid halftime a weekend. Tim, what do you have for your around the pitch?
Just wanted to give a shout out to my home club, and they really earned it. We, the boys had fall break, so we had 5-6 uninterrupted days. And one of them came to me saying they wanted to volunteer. We all got together on it, and we did. Hopefully you guys will be able to post some pictures in the show. If you go to Mother's Rugby at the University of Mary Washington, they did 5 days of the most intense labor imaginable down in the hurricane zone. In the place we wound up eventually, after we kept getting pushed further and further out, really off grid, no power, no water, in most of the places, was Creston, North Carolina. Try to find that on a map. Creston, North Carolina. And we were told by the engineers there that the boys saved 3 houses. And I mean, it was, wow. It was just pickaxe, shovel, flat shovel, pointed shovel. These kids are now experts with the flat and pointed shovel. And I think when they were going down there, they had all these plans. They were going to do this, they were going to do that. There we go. It was, it really, really was humbling when you talk to someone who has, you know, is just crying and thanking you for being there. And the guys were, I just can't say enough about the kids. They work so hard. I know they're working hard when they fall asleep about 8:45. it was just amazing. And then hats off to our alumni group for kitting them all out with shovels, the toe boots, and sleeping bags. That pipe on the left hand side right there was up in a lady's front lawn, and that's actually the middle of the road. You'll see that's a massive excavator the hole, the water call.
I was going to say that's probably 10 to 12 feet tall, and at the top you could just see the top of it, you know, from the hole it's in. So
and
you know, good job on the guys.
Tim, if I'm not mistaken, the guys, like, one of the stories shared on Facebook was the fact that there was a woman whose dad built, like, hand built their house, and because of the efforts of your boys and your crew, they were actually able to save this home from being permanently destroyed.
The amount of mud those guys took off the roof of the house was incredible. I mean, it really was. It was just
unbelievable. Here, if you look at, you could see, look where the roof of the house is versus where the quote road is to get the excavators around, which is, you know, they flattened it here, but I'm sure this was just a slick mud pile. Before they flattened it to bring this to bring the machinery in.
It was so exhausting every day being in mud all day. I mean, my superior fitness carried me through.
Top life.
I gave a lot of orders and did a lot of coordination, and I made sure the kids had calories coming in, but they did all.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Like, so hats off.
Good job, Mother's Rugby. Yeah, love it.
It was just amazing. Like, when we got back, no one could even keep their eyes open. It's that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what our buddy Adam Hughes talked about in his blog, you know, about community service in a time of need, that you know, rugby teams down there just helping out any way they could, whether it was just, you know, helping people, their neighbors, bringing water to FEMA sites. Like, you know, the little thing helps, believe it or not. So good job, boys. Yeah. So I'm going to go next, and we had a big, big announcement from PR7s. You know, PR7s had been quiet this whole year. You know, with rugby sevens at the Olympics, it doesn't make sense to have the PR7s event specifically, because, you know, a lot of these players are going to be playing for their national team. And let's be honest, it's not worth them getting injured participating in PR7s. So PR7s kind of knew this year was going to be one of those years they back off. I'm sure in 2028 in LA, they're going to back off. But now that the season is kind of almost started for HSBC sevens, and we have a women's team who won the bronze medal, the PR7s is doing what they're calling their all-star competition at Providence Park in Portland, Oregon. That's going to happen on Sunday, November 17th at 2 p.m. Pacific. It looks like it's going to have pretty much, you know, all the teams represented there from PR7s, you know, the locals, the loggerheads. Yeah. You know, so, and they're going to have a bunch of people coming in from the women's bronze medal team. Again, everybody's going to compete in the seven style tournament that they offer. The only thing I would say is I'm a little disappointed in the fact that this announcement comes like 3 weeks before the event. You know, it's going to be hard for a lot of these, you know, East Coast fans to go. Now, you know, traditionally during a regular PR7s series year, they have events kind of, you know, north, south, east, and west. And then they have, you know, their championship event. It's been an Audi Field 2 years in a row. So, but again, because, you know, the championship event is 4 or 5 months out, you can go to your local regional event, is easier to go to. And then you can make your way down to the championship. This all-star match championship, or this all-star format, you know, came quick. You know, the announcement again is tough. I was looking at flights. You know, the cheapest flight I can get is like $250 plus a hotel room, you know, for at least for one night. And it's tough. It's tough. You know, it's going to be tough for fans to fly out there to see one PR7s event. But listen, they were quiet. They're coming back with an event. We're looking to have Owen Scannell back on to talk about what they have in store for 2025. So
should be pretty fun to watch. Guys, I really do. I really think it's going to be.
A lot of
people have been clamoring for an MLR all-star team to play like the USA 15 side. And while not 15s, this is about as close as you can get. So this is a really cool concept. And certainly, you know, on the commercial side, if it's successful, it'll give us an indication of whether, you know, the MLR can try something like this or look into something like this.
Absolutely. And I mean, what I, you know, we've talked about the MLR All-Star thing, and I'm sure that'll be another topic again going into the MLR season. But I just feel like if they did something of just like a touch rugby tournament, a touch sevens tournament, you know, have the guys barefoot, and that's the day before the actual championship. So you get a bunch of guys from a bunch of different teams, and you make it like they do, you know, the NBA or NHL All-Star games where you have, you know, four captains, and then they pick their team.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're with their buddies or they're with, you know, whatever, their teammates, and they have a little fun and they bullshit. And again, it's relatively low contact, low risk of injury, you know, because obviously we're going to be going into international periods and things like that. So, you know, maybe it's something we could do like that, you know, going into next year. But anyway, what we're here to really talk about is the reason why Tim is on the show today. The question we're going to have is, does the USA Rugby partnership with Macron makes sense? And what we're kind of gonna elaborate on what we feel makes sense and kind of have Tim answer some of our super hard-nosed questions, because, you know, we're all about the hard-nosed questions here. But before we get into it, we're gonna get a quick mark thoughts.
Scott, now if I could just jump in real quick here before we were going.
I guess
Tim, you were
ruining the flow. Cool.
Scott gets upset when I, you know, rock the boat a little bit. But you had a pretty sweet looking jersey. I mean, just so fans can get an idea of what kind of kit the USA men and women's sides will be wearing as we approach, you know, inception of this deal.
This is the Barbarian shirt. And I know this doesn't do it justice. This is about as nice a jersey. The detail on this thing is amazing, and the stitching. And let me tell you, when this got announced, the deal with Macron, and there was a couple comments online, and I just said, hey, I'm really looking forward to working with everyone. Just threw it out there. Ruben de Haas's dad messaged me and said, of all the kit he's worn everywhere, he really liked this is his favorite. And he can't wait for it to be on the U.S. jersey. So to hear that made me feel really good, because the guys played in it in South Africa, probably, I would say, under some pretty rigorous conditions. So that was cool. It was just cool to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was not like I was asking for feedback, but he offered quite a bit of detailed feedback.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's nice, though. It's good to hear that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So, again, the question absolutely. And the question we're looking to answer today is, does the USA Rugby partnership with Macron make sense? There's a couple answers to that. There's a couple, you know, questions we can, you know, an A, B, C, and D we can add on to that. But overall, you know, does it make sense? So, Tim, if you want to talk about the company and a little bit of you know, the heritage, and obviously Barbarians is a kit they work with that team. But what are the other teams they work with?
I think you guys have a slide I provided, which is pretty telling.
But,
they had seven.
Here you go.
Here we go. I kind of like they put referees first on here. I thought that was cool. So all the staff and volunteers and referees.
Welcome up to them.
Yeah, you know, the referees are important. Seven out of the 20 national teams in the World Cup. And then they have 12 clubs playing in six different championships. And coincidentally, the way that I actually got originally linked up with these guys was I was over just kind of learning from one of these European clubs there in Cardiff. And they gave me the name of someone there. They said, you should really call this guy. Like, he's, you know, they care. And it's a company where people stay a long time and don't leave, which I thought was kind of,
that's awesome.
The average employee's been there a really long time. They're a very direct model. They've built an incredible facility in Bridgeport, Connecticut, with a showroom, customization, a lot of materials in stock. So I think they're really trying to bring the service they bought to soccer worldwide to rugby, although they're already doing that in Europe. They've done a great job of becoming, they are the number one rugby brand. We are the number one rugby brand in the world right now.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because not only was Macron on the backs of seven 2023 World Cup teams, but I did a little research myself, and comparatively speaking, of the top 20 teams in the, and I just tabulated the men's side, right, and men's rugby worldwide, Macron is one of nine of the 20, which is pretty amazing. And when you think about the fact that the top five are not Macron, okay, there are other brands, a multitude of other brands. I think it's the remaining, if I'm not mistaken, the remaining 13 teams, as a matter of fact, nine of those 13 are wearing Macron kit, right? So that's, I mean, that's a significant occupancy of that landscape.
Yeah, I was, I'll admit that I had some favoritism towards them from working for Old Glory for so long. Everyone that would come over would have to sit on and speak highly of it in the Scottish camp. So I was a little bit biased in that, you know, Warriors, the Warriors crew that would hang out with us had the stuff. So it was nice to hear them endorse it. So it wasn't a hard jump for me to say I'm in.
Yeah.
Now, one of the questions I have is, you know, obviously big dude here. And one of the missteps I feel that, you know, Kappa had was they were very European fitting jerseys. And the one thing the Europeans always tell us is we're fat Americans. So my question to you, Tim, is there any some broader sizes for some big boys like me?
Yeah, in rugby, and it's, I'm glad the question is asked, and I'm glad we can get it out there, because hopefully we'll eliminate some myth sizes. I would ask people to read in advance, because there are going to be replica jerseys of each of the MLR teams coming out. And my goal is to make sure that they have some of those available at the team stores for people to try on. I will say, so despite my deceptive look, I actually moved quite quickly. I was actually, I was in a Macron company store yesterday. So I was actually in London yesterday in the team store. And
nice.
I would say it doesn't run quite as small. I don't even want to say this on the air. It doesn't run quite as small as some of the more soccer inspired brands, but it does run smaller than your traditional American big box brand.
Well, and to be honest, yeah, no, and the replica jerseys, you know, I usually, in a regular shirt, I'm usually a 3 or 4X depending. And obviously, in a regular kit, a 3X is going to be game fit. It's going to be that you know, that replica fit. And that replica fit is just like an NFL jersey, right? You want it super tight because you don't want anything they can grab to tackle you. Don't get me wrong, Tim. That makes sense. And some people like that, specifically people who play like 9 through 15, they like that. But as long as there may be some, you know, 5, 6, 7Xs available, something like that to be just a little more loose. I think, you know, in the Paladin, we had that option a little bit, you know, so I'm hoping that we'll get that with the Macron. And again, or they'll have something, you know, comparable. So like, for example, I remember Rooney had a old school long sleeve cotton kit. And, you know, and it was more shirt sized than it was replica kit sized. And a lot of people, first of all, they loved it because they sold it on a cold day, and everybody wasn't prepared for the wind whipping. So it was nice. But no, I ended up buying like two or three of them, you know, old school kit. But you know, I know like the Barbarians actually have something like that that's similar, that's a little more it's a rugby kit, but it's a little more shirt sized, and you know, I'm excited to see what comes out. So
they have more stock items than any company I've ever seen. And the stock items do go up to 5X, many of them. So I don't want to base anyone off myself, but here I am wearing a 5X. And I don't know. I can't claim to be the smartest guy in the room, but few people are bigger than me.
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, you turned me on to Macron, you know, as soon as you made the announcement that you're going to be their sales rep here in the United States. And I checked out the brand because we have a good relationship and I wanted to make sure that I did right and just checked it out and did my due diligence. And sure enough, as I look through their catalog, there are just plenty of offerings. It's not just one style of polo, right? There's about three or four different polos to give a different look, a different fit, and different style. And I think the same thing holds true for some of the, you know, the outerwear, some of the tracksuits, some of the rain gear, some of the, you know, vests, some of the heavy, you know, wintry gear. All those things are there. So for anybody that's interested in looking at that, they can go to Macron's website and check it out. There's just a lot of really nice pieces to suit anyone's, wherever they live, where anyone's climate that they live in, they can find something that will help them, you know, acclimate to the weather and compete, you know, as a player or sit in the stands as a fan.
These guys too, I had, I believe he's the COO, great guy over here with me, as well as our company leader. And he was very, very interested in fit and style. The stuff I picked up yesterday, I picked up literally the nicest. I should have had it with me in my hands. I've got a Welk shirt and a Barbarian shirt right here. Yeah. Yeah. I got the nicest winter pair of gloves I've ever gotten. Like I was just, their attention to detail, like the detail on this shirt is unbelievable. I know this doesn't do it justice, but everything is double stitched.
Yeah.
Everything lined up.
Yep.
Sublimation lines up. The detail was here. There's a design. I know this isn't doing it justice.
You can design, see a little bit of a pattern in the black.
Yeah. So I've been really impressed and really pleased with the kit I've seen coming out now.
I mean, if you look at the Scottish kits from last year with the tartan on the side, and it wasn't too crazy tartan. It was just like kind of on that side panel. And again, sometimes it's not about going overboard with those touches, but you know, it's really nice to see the work that's put into those.
See a really cool shirt that's kind of bled into their other lines. They have a Crystal Palace and the Soccer Premiership, and that is just
really
a wild jersey that. They now have a stock line based upon the Crystal Palace kit. And then one of their top teams, you wouldn't guess, is Wrexham. So we were earlier this week, we were talking to some soccer people, and it was funny. We're talking high level soccer, which I don't know. I don't want to embarrass myself, but I do know a lot of soccer. It snuck into my brain. And, please, I hope rugby people don't hold that against me. But we were talking soccer, and everyone in the room kind of lit up when you talked about Wrexham. It was just kind of neat. Like, it's such a feel-good story that that the Wrexham kit is kind of worldwide known now, and it's from Macron.
Right. You know, I want to kind of dive into the weeds a little bit on another piece, because I noticed on social media, as soon as USA announced the partnership with Macron, that there were some knee-jerk reaction, if you will call it.
Sure.
Well, why can't they have Nike? Why can't they have Adidas? Why can't they have Cannabis? Why can't they have Under Armour, for Christ's sake? And I think people need to understand a couple of things. Number one, some of those brands have gotten out of the rugby game, namely Under Armour. They had been the sponsors of the Welsh kit for probably almost a decade. And they've gotten out of rugby. Nike has been in and out of rugby, although now they sponsor both South Africa as well as Fiji. And Adidas, you know, they're the way they attack their branding is to really go after the top teams in the world, those iconic brands like the All Blacks that are purely recognizable. And so they're really only on, I think, one or two kits out of that top 20. I think it's just the All Blacks, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, let's get deep into the weeds a little bit. Why is it that these other, you know, well-known American brands or well-known in American brands, why are they begging off rugby? Why are they not seen as proliferated across the top 20 quite like Macron is?
Well, let's be honest. Rugby's not a, compared to other U.S. sports, rugby's not a huge, how much money can you make this year thing. And I think Macron's in it for the long run. They've invested in facilities and infrastructure. And I think the relationship makes sense in that they are already the biggest in rugby, but the U.S. is something that needs help to grow. And I think we're there to do the work with them. I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed already talking to the U.S. CEO about some plans we have to co-market rugby in the U.S. and make resources available to coaches, make kit available to new teams. So it's kind of a good fit. Like, rugby's ready to grow and we're ready to grow as well. And that doesn't mean, that really is
absolutely
question why doesn't Nike or Adidas go after it? But I just don't, I don't think it's a good fit for Nike or Adidas.
Yeah, no doubt. And they have their teams that have Nike kit, but then they have teams who have Jumpman kit, and they're kind of eating their own teams alive here with what they're doing. Because some of the brands, like I remember University of Michigan was the first football team to have the Jumpman branded Nike gear. And everybody was like, Meanwhile, it's now there's several teams that are doing the Jumpwear branded gear instead of straight Nike gear. And, you know, it's interesting to see them kind of eat up their own competition in a way. But I think you're right. I think, you know, right now at this point, you know, let's be honest, we're getting more fans going to WNBA games than we are getting to USA rugby matches, right? So what does Nike and Adidas and everything really have to go on to say, well, I want to buy out this contract for a national team? I mean, do you think Nikes and Adidas are kitting out the curling team? Probably not, you know? So let's take a little bit of a thing here. Now, on the reverse side, if you look at other Olympic sports like bobsledding or things of that nature, you know, where those kits are a little more scientific, I think it's more of a, National Olympic Committee decision to have those brands, because now you're talking about X amount of people in X amount of sports across the entire Olympics versus just, you know, 23 kits. 27 kits, 33 kits, you know, let's just say for USA Rugby Plus, whatever they would sell. And I got to be honest, a lot of people don't buy the new rugby, you know, Eagles rugby kit every year. A lot of them like to have the kit that they bought. Like, you know, I don't remember the last time I bought an Eagles kit, but I do remember, like, I bought the kit for 2016 when rugby came back into the Olympics. I thought that was special, you know, things like that. So, if this is a twofold question, and you may not know, and I don't know if those details are ironed out, but how consumer friendly is you know, the price range for these products going to be?
Extremely consumer friendly, in that the team store concept they have really has stuff from, and again, that I can't speak for the U.S. national team what will be available and what won't, but the team store concept they have has starter items for little kids. It's super affordable items all the way up through, and when you were talking about technology, like a bobsledding team, these guys have put, I wish I could show you this Welsh jersey here, in that when you turn it inside out, look at how it's got four-way stretch all the way around and got double stitching. It's the amount of technology they put into that Scottish kit or the Welsh kit is off the charts. But you really feel like they have something for the kid that just wants to wear a t-shirt, or the fan that wants a scarf, all the way up through the very technical team that wants to have a jersey as close to a pro jersey as they can. I'm excited to get out and talk to some of the U.S. teams that want to look, you know, the U.S. teams that want to have the same quality the U.S. national team has or close to it.
Yeah, club teams, men's and women's club teams, yeah. College club teams, high school. Yep.
Yeah, and we've already gotten a lot of inquiries from people that want, you know, that saw the announcement and want their team. I'm just ready for some real positive news in the U.S. team, and I think it's coming. I do feel like we're entering a new era here where it's on the upswing.
And that's just it, Tim. I think there are two things that I really like about this partnership when it was first announced. Number one, if you look at the branding they did and that initial social media blanket canvassing that they did.
It
was really slick. And I really thought it was special. And it showed, again, going back to that attention to detail, the attention to detail to get American rugby consumers excited about this new brand that the boys and the girls are going to be wearing to represent our country. So I think that's a big piece. But the other big piece is, like you talk about, the commitment, right? I mean, how often have we seen the U.S. national team where, okay, this year it's Adidas, and then it's Kuga, and, you know, we've gone around the universe and the solar system and back with the various brands, and we've never really had one stick, right? And it'd be nice to see a brand that's committed to USA Rugby, to helping USA Rugby grow, and that's willing to take it into that 2031 to benefit from long-term commercialization partnerships.
Yeah, I'm excited. So really, really looking forward to that. Yeah, Wayne. It's our national team. What's not to like? That's ready to go.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to get kit out like the national team, you guys can go to the website and check them out, you know, macron.com. And here's the thing. If you go to their team sports, look at how many team sports they can actually kit you out for, you know, soccer, rugby, volleyball, basketball, baseball, handball, cricket, American football, netball. Those are just some of the interesting, you know, kits they have. And because they're kitting out, you know, all these different sports, you can go in and there's a selection if you want to look at your club team to really take a look at what you've been doing. You know, don't get me wrong. Some club teams, you know, have a tradition of what their kit looks like. Some other club teams, unfortunately, you know, that tradition went out in the 1930s. So maybe you need a little bit of updating. So if you go and you just check out like the rugby side of it and you go to match day and you can see all the different colors and all the different styles and things like that. And there's some more subtle ones than there's some more outgoing ones. And, you know, I think it's the customization you have when you're going in to make these decisions, I think is the biggest upside for a club team.
So, on that note, Tim, let me ask this. You can obviously buy stock product like you talked about, you know, whether it's a red jersey or a navy jersey or a black jersey. And as a guy who coached youth rugby, would occasionally get stuck in that situation where we couldn't get kit turned around, that real nice custom kit turned around, because we just were a startup. We were in our first season and we had to get going. We needed a set of jerseys. So we can, you know, startup teams, clubs can order something right off the shelf, order 23, have it, you know, stitched, and it can be ready in pretty short order.
Some of the stock kit that is filtered down from the protein is actually nicer than some of the custom kit you'd get any. It is, because they've had time. That really was a reverse for me. I was like, you know, talking with the executives and looking through the warehouse recently, and they're showing me how a stock jersey has extra features because they have extra time to build it. So I would encourage people to really take a hard look at the stock kit and build their team store. We can still do, of course, the really fancy sublimated stuff, but a lot of that stock kit is just super nice. Like it really is kind of a new era where a team can go in there and find six or seven different jersey combinations in their colors and basically put a crest on it. Now, the beauty of that is if you're a guy like myself running a college team or a high school team and you lose a jersey, it's in stock and it's there. Or if you're ordering out, and how many times did you have a set of jerseys that you couldn't, you know, replicate with three of them? you should be able to get people to order jerseys as needed in that stock building.
Right. It's funny you say that.
Man, the way you lose jerseys and the way I lose jerseys, completely different, by the way.
Because we did that. We ordered, this is going back a few years, but we ordered from BLK, back when BLK, again, was a sponsor, was a kid of the United States Eagles. So we ordered some BLK kit. Swear to God, literally just gotten picking up. One of our scrum half grabbed the number 9 jersey for the weekend. And there was a big rainstorm, and for some reason, like, he put it in the back of his truck, and it, like, rolled out the back of his truck and was in a gutter and lost forever, right? And we're like, no number 9 now.
Yeah. No, that's never happened.
Contrasting, you take a group of college rugby players and you put about 35 of them in 2 hotel rooms and you have a social the night before. And somewhere in that night, one of those friends who had too much fun at the social pees in the bag of jerseys that you now have to wear for the next 2 days and can't really clean because you're up in Lindenville, Vermont, about 8 hours away from where you fucking live. Thanks, Rudy. They were white kit. They were white kit too. They had a nice yellow fucking stripe on them. So, but the other thing I found interesting in looking at the site, and I know Tim isn't going to be able to comment on this, but I just found it interesting because you talked about the referee kit and you were saying like you wait for referees and stuff like that. Interestingly enough, there's a referee shirt called the Eklund, and it comes in 4 colors, black and white. That's your typical, but it also comes in neon pink and what's called neon sky blue. Interesting. I think those are interesting colors.
Giving a shout out to my longtime friend, played against him in college, played with him in college on select sides. His son is here at my school now, and that is Boomer. Boomer Willis, referees all over, prefers pink. He is, you cannot miss him.
Listen,
he is the hot
exactly
center of attention.
Yeah, and that one was
exactly. And interestingly enough,
the guy in pink.
Yeah,
and that neon sky blue as well is very.
No,
your eye goes to it.
Wouldn't have anything to do with the sky blue. Going right for the pink. He's the.
And for the pink.
Pink man in charge.
I know who does like sky blue, Scott. He's good then.
I just say he loves his blue kit. Now, don't get me wrong. He does love the pink one. But when I talked to him last time I saw him, he was like, I'm very partial to the blue ones. And because he does a lot of the West Coast with San Diego, they put him in the blue because they want to make sure it contrasts that red that they have. So he really loves it.
Yep. I think I can't remember when I was helping the MLR reps. It might have been the first year some of them had hot pink jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously great.
It's funny.
That's Scott Green likes the hot pink. He's a hot pink guy.
Yes, he comes in and he has his New Zealand West Coast tan, so he's super tan. You can tell he gets that like arm butter that The Rock has, and oils himself up, and his hair's all perfect, and he's wearing that pink. But interestingly enough, there's only been one time that I've seen the
Kiwi Ken.
The pink jersey was an actual issue. Was in 2021, Rooney did a pink kit for breast cancer awareness. Yeah. And I guess the referees never got the memo that they were going to be wearing it this one game. And they ended up bringing their pink kit and not their blue kit, which I'm like, why don't you just bring both anyway? But that's a whole other story. Yeah. So what they ended up doing is they ended up wearing Rooney home blue kits because I think they might have been playing the gold. Maybe the gold were in white and Rooney was in pink. And so the blue kit was the contrast for it. And that was the only time I've ever seen the pink kit become an issue. So
now, Tim, if I'm not mistaken, there's a semi-custom component to Macron's website as well, right? Where there's I think 14 different designs, and then you can start to download graphics of your sponsor or your team branding, etc.
Yeah, the reality is most of your, I shouldn't even say better, most of your more organized and sponsor driven, or even wanting to recognize a single sponsor, they're gonna go to sublimated. That's the reality. It's a sublimated shirt. For people at home that don't understand, or I'm sure most people do, this can be fit, but that's sublimated there. It's essentially the fabric is
built into the fabric
that color. So I would say
compressed, yeah.
For instance, my home team, we have, I'll give a shout out to Sheehy, and I'll give a shout out to the local Toyota. We have Sheehy Toyota. The only way to get that correctly looking good and being long-term durable and color fast is to have it sublimated. So the number is sublimated as well. Mm. I think you will see some more team going to a sublimated jersey with a Krypton number, but that's just that's just sign of the times where you want to have a bigger roster sometimes or be a number. But generally speaking, I expect your bigger schools, like your Rugby East schools, your bigger California D1 schools, to be, and your bigger men's clubs like your ARC, to be asking for a sublimated jersey. I think it would be unrealistic for any company, no matter how nice the stock product is, to think that they're going to be all choosing stock product. But I think some will.
Yeah.
Oh, the stock stuff is so nice. I feel like if I'm able to show it to them, they'll want it. But sublimated will still carry the day.
But again, I think it speaks to the fact that they can always do a stock jersey for a training jersey, right? So that you can have, your training jersey on Tuesdays and Thursdays, mm-hmm. and then you have your nice sublimated jersey, and it's going to fit very similarly. It's going to wear very similarly. And the fact that it's a stock kit is, when you have newbies come on board, you can say, hey, if you want to go get the kit, here's where you go. Order yourself your size, you need whatever. And it can be turned around in relatively short order. Now, Tim, let's harken back to earlier in the discussion. You also talk about that third level where it's a totally customized kit, kind of like that Barbarian piece you were showing. So am I wrong to think that there's this kind of stock one, then there's a semi-custom, and then there's complete customization process?
Yeah, and I mean, you could go with customized shorts. You can do all that. I generally would probably say semi-custom. I would encourage most people to have stock shorts, and there's a wide range of those, and then a custom jersey. But you can do everything customized if you want.
Yeah.
It will, like any manufacturer, it will take long to invent.
And mm-hmm. to do the customization, is actually an IMS app, right, that can be downloaded.
It is such a cool app. You can go to the Macron website. It's available there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Real quick, I think I found, if we had only had Macron a couple years ago, this might have saved Rugby ATL's franchise, because look at how nice that. Now, they call it coral, neon coral, but to me that's a nice peachy color. If you had green, I always felt the super duper green with the peach accents never made sense. I'd rather have the peach jersey with some green accents. And here's another one in that line, the Gollum line. This is an all black, but with the graffiti on it. This would be a cool NOLA gold kit, Rob, if Macron ever moved over to MLR. You could do this in the graffiti in the what you call colors, the Mardi Gras colors. That would be something I think would be cooler. Honestly, if New York still had a team, that would have been cool. Subway, the subways and stuff. But those things are part of the stock issue of Macron. And I just wanted to bring it up because, like, you wouldn't think this is stock. You know what I mean? But it is. That's a sick training shirt for a club team right there.
It's taken Canterbury's ugly jersey to a new level, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's cool. Yeah. Like this, it has character again. It has that. Graffiti like character. It's not all the same, and it's just random enough that it's cool, especially for a training kit, like warming up in that. Feel good, look good, play good. So Tim, just give us your final thoughts on the deal here with USAR and you know, the future they have with the national teams, if you can, before we step off here.
I see a lot of positive things going on with the national team, and I'm probably a little spoiled in that I got to work with some of the guys this summer at the MLR Rising camp. So I feel like, you know, it doesn't hurt that I have some insider info, but I would ask people to give the team a shot, and those that have been not right on top of the what's going on with the U.S. team to start following it more closely, because it's not just an exciting time because of the new kit. Obviously, I'm biased, and I'm glad I'm able to work with them, but it's an exciting time for the team as a whole. I think they're bringing on new players. They've got new coaches. I had a great talk with Neitz in the U20 side. He's really bringing in a lot of new players in the pipeline. So, you know, we're excited at Macron to work with the U20 team and to work. My goodness, we get the U.S. women's bronze team, who maybe next time will be gold. You know, I'm kind of a fanboy in that. You know, 100%. I can't wait to meet the women's team. Like, I want to hear about what it was like to win a bronze medal. So I'm just really looking forward to working with them and adding whatever little bit I can to the push forward.
Yeah. And Tim, just so everybody knows, if you want to play around with that customization process, you go to your app store, whether that's iOS or whether that's your Google Play Store, My Macron Kit is ready to go. It's really a sharp app. Yeah, it's a really nice app. And you can also download it on your laptop or your, you know, standalone computer as well. But it is easily accessible, isn't it?
That's awesome. Hey, guys, if you do some custom kit, post some pictures on the MLR Fan Zone from us. I want to see what you guys are working with here.
Yeah, 100%.
We might have to come up with a contest, right, Rob? Like,
yeah.
Would that be a
good idea? Maybe design a kit idea, design a kit contest, and people can vote on what their favorite kit of the week is, and kind of like a March Madness style, you know, knockout bracket all the way to the championship. And, you know, who knows, it may be worth their while to make that design become a reality.
Maybe the winning team gets a free set of custom kit.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
I'm going out on a ledge there. I got
a bunch of club treasures.
I got to run
that. A bunch of club's treasures, ears perked up, you know. It's like a dog. You're like, what did Tim say? What? But Tim, thanks so much for coming on and giving us the inside scoop here about Macron and what they're doing for USAR in the men's and women's 15s and 17s. And we definitely look forward to seeing the new kit. And there's the, there we go, the Romania training top that was supposed to go to me. Thank you, Robert Rescue, because you signed it to the Hammer, because Hammer, you know, wasn't paying attention to what he was telling you. But that's okay. I love you, Rob. You know I do. So
hopefully, a sweaty kid. I haven't even washed it. It still actually has Robin Romescu's sweat.
Yeah, but you would always get sweaty kid. Your son plays every weekend. You just get one from your son.
When the U.S. team releases it, we'll try to get some leaks for you guys.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Appreciate it. Or if anything, if you can model one, because what we found is, seriously, sometimes you miss the details because they're not 3D renderings or they're not, you know, because you're from still pictures. So maybe after the release, if you have one, you can model it, or you know, maybe one of your guys could just model it for us so we could talk about it.
Absolutely. That's a fair request right there.
Awesome.
I like
the, Tim, again, like the idea, we appreciate it.
Competition, though. We got
to go. There we go.
Can you imagine, like, can you imagine, I want to have like a U12 co-ed team, where you like your U9 girls team beat an ARP team with better.
Yeah, right. Like,
you just said that conceptually, and then like, I want the kids to win.
It's not loaded.
No, you can't trust me to be the judge, though.
And they can't trust me or Hammer because me and Hammer can never agree on what can we like and what we don't like. We always disagree with each other.
It'll have to be an online vote. We'll have to do an online vote.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We'll figure out a bracket. We'll figure out a bracket and how to do it online. Anyway, guys, Tim, again, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate talking about this deal and talking about what clubs can do, what club teams can do going through Macron and you know, the different levels there are and just everything we talked about today. We really appreciate it, man.
Thanks. I'm going to log out, guys. Take care of yourselves.
Cheers, Tim.
See ya. Hammer, I think this one's done and dusted. Ronda 191 next week, brother.
Did you notice? Tim dropped a little Easter egg there for everybody. If you missed it, rewind and see if you can figure it out.
All right, everybody, that's the Rugby Random.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the power, performance, and reliability of a new Superstart battery. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Oh, oh.